Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Save the Date. And I don't know if you've ever gotten one of these little cards in the mail. Sometimes they make even magnets that you stick on your refrigerator somewhere for a wedding, an event that's coming up. It's not the actual invitation, but it's something just so you can mark the day. I actually found some of these and would throw them up on the screen, but anybody listening beyond here wouldn't be able to see them. One of them was a picture. It said, save the date. And it was a ball and chain, big picture of a ball and a chain, kind of saying a wedding was coming up, obviously, there. Another one about it's going to cost an arm and a leg. It had a bride's arm with a bouquet and a groom running off with some pant leg there. And the funniest one, I thought, my favorite one, was save the date, and it was two commodes. And one, it said, for better or for worse under the commodes. And one commode, the seat was down, and then one commode, the seat was up. So obviously, one of the great things about being married. Turn to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7, and I may read a few verses just to get down to this one. Then we'll go to Genesis chapter 8. Then we'll kind of move to the right, Exodus, read a psalm, something out of Romans, and should be done. Genesis chapter 7, the story here is of Noah, and just a particular thing I want to point out here in this story before we move on. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean animals and of animals that are unclean, of birds and of everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And then look at these verses. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now, why am I reading you this verse, specifically 11? The 600th year of Noah's life, it's the second month, the 17th day. Now, we don't call the months back then what we call them now, but if it were today, what would that be, the second month, the 17th day? February 17th. What do you think Noah would think about February the 17th, maybe for the rest of his life? It was a day when, depending on how you look at it, either all hell broke loose or all heaven broke loose, but something cataclysmic that had never happened before, would never happen again quite like this, went down on the 17th day of the second month. Now keep reading with me down in Genesis chapter 8. Verse 1, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark, now by the way, if you think, well, it only rained 40 days and 40 nights, they were in this boat a long time. Do you see that? Then look at this, verse 4. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the Mount of Ararat, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. Specific dates. It's not random. This stuff is recorded. Why? Because there are events in our lives when stuff goes down. Go on in that chapter, verse 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. Dates matter, but dates are not always good dates. And for a lot of people, there are certain days in their life that are great. And I tell you what, we're going to do a little exercise here. I'd like you to think for a second about a great date. Now, I'm not talking about you took some girl out. A date in your life, in history, in your life, I don't want to know what it's about. And when you have that date in mind, I'd like you to call it out. Month, day, and year. Call them out. Now, you probably called out, how many of you called out a birth date, somebody's birth date? Raise your hand. How many a wedding anniversary? Not so many of those. Some people trying to forget that date. We'll get to you in a minute. Go to Exodus chapter 12. Genesis, Exodus. Moses had some days. He had some specific dates that really horrible stuff happened and then really great stuff happened in his life. And he could go back to those days. He was there on a day when God began to destroy the world, but he was also there on the day when his life was preserved. There was dry ground again and there was hope. Now go to Exodus chapter 12. If you read the first part of Exodus here, you'll know the story is of the plagues. Moses saying to Pharaoh, "Let my people go, let my people go." Exodus 12, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month." So you keep this, you don't kill it. "Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts of the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." So what's instituted here? The Passover. Verse 11, "And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it with haste." You don't sit around lounging, you eat it. It's fast food. "So shall you eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Now, if you take that passage, jump down to verse 41 just for the sake of reading this stuff. "And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." So they ate this meal, the angel of death passed over and destroyed all the firstborn of Egypt, animals, human beings. But if you had the blood on the doorpost of your house, then the angel passed over and no one was harmed in that house. Now, if you jump forward a few hundred years, Jesus, on a certain night, a specific night, takes the Passover meal, and instead of, certainly there was a lamb there, but the other lamb that was there was him. And people say, what is the big deal with all this Jesus mess? And why do you people get so caught up in Easter and Christmas and like he's God or something that was born? And then later it's Easter and now this meal means so much. And then you do these little shot glasses and wafers in your services and remember that he died. You know what? Okay, he died already. Who cares? Because there is no Christianity without all this mess. So it's not just mess. It's not just stuff. It's not ceremonial stuff that we go through. And one of the things, if you want to really get into this and think about it, if you go back and read the Old Testament, it is one of the goriest, gruesome slaughterhouse stories you have ever seen in your life. The temple itself was built, this magnificent place, gold inlaid, pomegranates carved in here, and just an extraordinary place. They finish it, and almost the way they make it worth anything is they go in and start splattering blood all over the place and completely mess it up. And day and night, all the time, people bring in animals. It's a big butcher shop, and blood is everywhere. It is a messy place. Messy thing to be in the Old Testament and to be a priest. They were dealing with animals all the time and killing and killing and killing. And then once and for all, somebody comes along, not an animal, a man, a God man comes along, and it turns out he is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And so he dies. And then, as it were, his blood gets sprinkled where? On the doorpost of my life. And so you say, well, does that mean you won't die? The angel of death comes and you don't die. You can kill this body, but you can't kill the me. There's a me in here ain't dying. I will never miss a beat. I will transfer from this fuselage to a much better looking one, I hope, in another place. This stuff about his blood, about his death, about his burial, and about his resurrection, there is nothing. And if you listen to me long enough, you can go pull out of hundreds and hundreds of sermons. I almost bet you, not church money, maybe some of my own, but you would be hard-pressed. It is almost impossible that you will ever find me preach a message where you will not hear of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's not happening. Because there is nothing else without that. And we sing songs about this. And it's very hard. Some people come to church, and I've actually had these conversations. People say, well, I went to church, and I didn't grow up doing this, and it seemed like there was kind of like a sheep theme and like a blood theme or something. Oh, well, you went to a really good church then. If they're actually talking, nobody will talk about the blood anymore. Nobody will talk about sin anymore. We don't want to offend people. You know what? This deal is offensive, but our sin is offensive to God. So they have dates. There were dates, and these things were observed. The problem is we can get so religious in our observations, we forget what it's even about. Anniversaries can turn into these things. Birthdays can turn into these things. Find ways to celebrate. When Easter comes along, turn it into a great event. Think about it. When you go to a communion service, think about it. Don't just pass it and go, okay, God, are you and I great? Good to see you again. Okay, pop a wafer, you know, slam down some juice, and okay, we're out of here. Stop, process it. Somebody died for you. And that's why you have a life, an abundant life here, and an eternal life in the hereafter. Now go to Psalm chapter 118, a few pages to the right. Now, I'm going to try to hone in where I'm going today here in this verse. Psalm 118, verse 24. Now here's what I'd like to ask you. Usually every year has about 365 days. Would everybody agree with that? Tell me which days this verse does not apply to. Read it. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now tell me which one it doesn't apply to. Any days? Can you come up with one? See, the devil hijacks days from us. The devil has come along and said, you know what? My day. And you know what I'm saying back? No, sir. They're all God's days. Any day, this verse says, this is the day the Lord has made. Who made the day? God made the day. You know what? I'm not giving up any days. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Now, there are bad things that happen on certain days, but that doesn't have to make it a bad day in my life. Now, let me do another thing. A minute ago, I had you call out some dates. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. And nobody's going to know what these dates are but you. I want you to think about tough dates in your life when very, very, very difficult things happen to you. Maybe in your family, you know, I can go back to a date. It's a good thing my mom's in heaven with Jesus, but that was a tough date for me, the day my mama died. How many of you got a day like that? You can raise your hand on. All right, now here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to think about a date that has given you trouble, and for however many years this has been going on, that date comes, and you dread it coming, and there may be more than one, and it is a difficult time of the year because for whatever reason, you have a horrible memory and the enemy has hijacked that date from your life, and going into it, it's tough. Being there, it's tough. Getting beyond it is tough. And you're done with fearing and dreading that date. Now, has everybody got a date? All right, I'm going to ask you to do something even beyond that. And we may be doing this all at once, but I would like you to stand up and call out your date. Call it out. Call out your date. All right? Anybody else? Just call them out. Stand up and call them out. Anybody else? Now, here's what you don't know, and maybe you do. A lot of pain on those days. A lot of pain. Those dates could represent abortions. Those dates could represent divorces being final. Those dates could represent death. Those dates could represent affairs on a day that your whole family was blown up. Tough stuff. Now here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Whether you got up or not, if you've got a date, you've got a time of year, you got something, then I'm going to ask you to ask God to give it back. I want that date back, God. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ who walk according to the Spirit, not after the flesh. Do not give the devil any days. Whatever day it is the day that the Lord has made, and we can rejoice, and it says we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it is possible for those days to come, happen, and go, and no matter what the memory, what happened, the day be redeemed. Now, why did I say the title was Save the Date? Because sometimes the dates need to be saved. I looked up the word save, and the first definition was the act of preventing the opposition from scoring. I am tired of this crap. And see, the devil says, okay, great. You and Jesus worked it out. But you know what? I got year after year after year till you die. I'm going to haunt your house till the day you're out of here, because every time this day rolls around, I'm going to punch you in the nose. And you're going to be mine for just a little while, and you're going to be sidelined. Woe is me, I can't handle it. Oh, I'm all stirred up, this is terrible. You know what? Don't give him that ground to stand on anymore. Now, you say, well, Richard, great. You talked about bad things like a divorce. Okay, that's a bad thing. But what if it's the day a child died? We got that in the room. What if it's the day of a miscarriage? We got that in the room. I'm not saying this is easy. You only got so many days to live anyway. Enough. Enough. Don't give any more days up. And see, when you begin to deal with these days, then when you meet somebody who's got these dates in their life and these problem areas, you say, look, let me tell you a story. Part of my story is that on this day, I screwed up and it affected the rest of my life. But when this day comes now, I thank God, I praise him, I worship him and say, you know what? The enemy had that day. He had me, he got me, but he doesn't have me anymore. So turn the bad days into worship days, into praise days. Good Friday is a horrible day. It's a somber day in our calendar. But you know what? That ought to be an amazing day. It's not just some day to eat fish. Whoever started that mess. It's a day to think about somebody died for me. It's a horrible day for Jesus, but you know what? I'm thankful it was a horrible day for Jesus, because it's a great day every day for me after that. And see, everybody in the room and everybody listening to Beyond Here's got dates. Dates that need to be saved. Painful stuff. Let me call out a date, and if you want to go read Romans 14, there was some good stuff in there, but I'm not going to read it. October 28th. I went and had breakfast at a restaurant I do a lot of breakfast in, and I got in there at about 8, and had one meeting from about 8-something to 9:30, another one from 9:30 to 11:30, and I got up, pretty intense conversations, and I got up to leave, and a guy approached me at the door of this restaurant, and he told me later that what had happened was he saw that I was in the restaurant, and he got up and acted like he was going to get a paper so our paths would cross. Isn't it crazy what we do? Oh, what a coincidence seeing you here. So he said, you know what? Do you remember me? And I kind of did. And as it turns out, we've been looking for some office space as a church. And one of the buildings I, for some reason, could not let go of, whether we could afford it or not, I knew I was supposed to go look at that building for some reason. And it turns out he was the broker on the building. We looked at it. It was too expensive. We passed on it. And it was this broker. And he says to me, he says, I've really been thinking about some stuff. Is it possible we could sit down and talk? Meeting you that day, something intriguing happened, and could we talk sometime? And I said, sure. And I thought, you know, I'm about to go back to the office. I don't have an appointment. I said, okay, you want to sit down now? And he was by himself. We sat down and talked for another 2 hours. And he sat down, he looked at me, and he says, you know what? I got a good career. I meet girls. He was single. And he starts talking about his life, but he's like, something's missing. He says, I'm Persian. I'm from Iran and was raised Muslim, and my family moved to Sweden. And he said, something happened to my mother, and she's met some Protestant people, he said, there, and she talks to me about Jesus all the time. It's a Muslim woman. And she said to him that Jesus had appeared to her at the foot of her bed one night. And see, this kind of stuff freaks people out. You know what? Jesus can do whatever he wants to do. So his mom's got this going on. So we sit there and have a conversation. And on October 28th, a young 33-year-old guy, raised Muslim, Persian, sat at a little table. He was a little self-conscious of the table we were sitting at, so we had to move tables. We went to a back corner where no one could see him, bowed his head, and his whole life was changed. Now, I would love to have a story like that on every day on the calendar. When we left, I said, happy birthday, Allie. Remember this day. I told him to write it down. You need to get you some new dates. And you need to save some old dates. And make sure you've got the biggest date of all saved, the date that you drop dead and know where you're going. And I explained that to him. I said, Allie, I said, let me talk this through with you like this. I said, what if I told you that somehow, just a God thing, I knew that by 1 o'clock in the morning tonight, you would be dead. I can't tell you how it's gonna happen, but you're out of here. I said, would you think it would be important to make this decision and trust Christ and resolve this right now? He said, well, yeah, of course. I said, well, Allie, you're a really smart guy. I said, why is it that you think you have control over yourself so much that you know when you will or you will not die? And his guys got really big. I said, you think you're in control of that? I said, dude, you got no control over that unless you take your own life. And even that you can't do. Unless somehow God allowed that. He said, well, when you put it that way, I said, so why don't you do it today?
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
I spend a lot of time with a lot of people sitting and listening to your stories. And if somebody said, all you can do is preach, you can't talk to people anymore, you can fire my butt right now. Because I got nothing to talk about unless it works for you. And I can go up and down these rows and I hear really, really tragic stories, really, really hard stuff that happens to men, to women. And usually this stuff starts on a day, may continue every day, but then that messes your whole life, your whole year up. abuse of all kinds. No matter what happens to you, and no matter what day, this is a great thing about recorded messages, wherever this goes, I don't care what day it is when you hear this one, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.